Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. We'll get back started. And Mr. Nelson?
Yeah.
I'll turn it back over to you.
Excellent. Mr. Strong, you concluded your case in chief?
Yes, at this point we've called our last witness that we intend to call. And can either do it now or at a later date, but we would request the admission of our exhibits, and I believe that was A1 through A30. We would request that those be admitted into and made a part of the record, and then would certainly reserve an opportunity to call any rebuttal witnesses and to provide closing comments to the board at the conclusion of the testimony.
Yes, of course. Before I ask about the admission, I have you listed up to 829. What is 830? Oh. Floor plan and design plan.
Yeah, floor plans and sheets canopy.
What's 830?
Okay. If someone can please email them to me so I have them electronically, I'd appreciate it.
What's 830?
I don't know. I might have. Sorry, I can't remember if I was given a copy of the hearing last week. But if you could send it to me, just
sure
cover all of our bases.
And I know the township has a PDF copy already.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Chuck, if you can send it to me. Thanks. That being said, do any of the attorneys have any objections to the admission of exhibits A1 through A30?
No objection. No objection.
No objection.
No objection.
Point of order. Some of those were traffic studies that have been withdrawn or superseded. Why don't you just take them out of the thing for consolidate the record a little bit?
I think we're going to keep it as is. The record makes clear what superseded what. That being said, Mr. Bernier, I think you're up.
All right. Thank you very much. The township would call Eric Stump, and before we get into his testimony, I do have an exhibit packet to hand out. Mr. Stump sworn then?
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give this evening is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Stump, can you state your name for the record?
Eric Stump.
And can you give us your educational background?
I have a Bachelor's of Engineering from the University of Delaware. I graduated in 2001.
Are you a certified professional engineer?
I am since 2005.
And do you have any specific qualifications related to the testimony that you will be giving in this conditional use hearing?
In addition to having my PE, I'm also a PTOE, which is Professional Traffic Operations Engineer, which is a little bit more specialized and focused than just the general broader PE license.
And what does one have to do to obtain the PTOE title?
There's an examination to pass that. Again, it's a little bit more specific and in-depth than the broader PE certification.
Are you currently employed in the engineering field?
I am, yes.
And what's your current employment?
I'm with HRG. I've been with HRG since 2001.
Do you have any prior work experience to being with HRG?
I internship to my knowledge.
With regard to your position at HRG, do you specialize in traffic operations?
I do. We work both for developers preparing traffic impact studies and doing PennDOT permitting, as well as for municipalities who work for PennDOT reviewing HOPD's traffic studies for design and roadway improvements.
All right, and you just gave a little bit of an answer to my next question, but can you advise the board of the types of matters that you handle on a daily basis?
Sure. A lot of my day-to-day work is reviewing traffic studies, reviewing highway occupancy permit applications on behalf of municipalities. I also review them internally. We have other staff that generally prepares the traffic studies for the HRP, and then I review them before they would get submitted.
Do you have any continuing education courses that you have to take concerning your PE or your PTOE status?
Yeah, for both the PE and PTOE, ongoing education. Every 2 or 3 years, you need to have so many credits. For the PTOE, it needs to be specific to traffic. The PE is a little bit broader. But again, you need to have documentation of that and when you renew your licensure or certification.
And did you get any specific type of training when you first started with HRG regarding your area of expertise?
Yeah, I'd say that there's kind of ongoing training that we've had over the years, whether it be from organizations or specific to PennDOT training or so on and so forth.
Okay. Did you bring a copy of your resume or CV with you tonight?
I did.
Now I'm going to refer your attention to what has been marked Exhibit T1 in the packet. You have a packet in front of you, correct?
I do.
I'm going to refer your attention to T1, if you could just review that. Is that your resume?
Yes.
And have you been previously qualified as an expert witness in the area of transportation engineering or traffic engineering?
I have.
And can you just give us approximately how many times?
Several dozen times, 20, 30, maybe 40 over the last 15 to 20 years.
Okay. And before what? Courts or boards or other entities?
It's been for conditional use hearings like this, special exception hearings, sometimes zoning hearing board. In two cases, was in front of a court.
Trial court, court common pleas or?
Trial court? Good question.
Not sure. Was it at a county courthouse?
One of them was.
And the other maybe at a district court?
It was.
Is your firm, HRG, the appointed engineer for Derry Township?
Yes, they are.
And in that capacity, are you familiar with Derry Township ordinances?
Yes. Working with in Derry Township in some capacity, been in the municipal side for roughly 15 years, and on the land development side for some years even before that.
Okay. And what townships, other townships and municipalities do you handle?
There are about 20 that I'm involved with, several in Dauphin County, Lower Paxton Township, West Hanover Township, Lower Sumatera Township, Susquehanna, Silver Spring Township and Cumberland County are some of the larger ones, but again, there's about 20 or so that we represent. Yeah. And I tend to be involved with all the traffic-related reviews for any of the municipalities.
And I believe you gave some testimony to this earlier, but do you only work on the municipal side or do you handle developer side work at times?
We do also do some land development side, generally not in the municipalities that we represent, but outside of those areas, HRG does do land development and I collect support for that as well.
Okay, so that was my next question. You specifically, have you handled any developer
side work? Mr. Eric, if you could please speak a little closer to the interview.
Thank you.
Will do.
My question was specifically, you had talked about HRG handling developer-sided work, and I think you said that you get involved, but do you specifically ever handle developer-sided work?
Yes, I work with land development on a regular basis as well.
Those are all the questions I have regarding qualifications. I would move for Mr. Stump to be qualified as an expert witness in the area of traffic engineering.
Mr. Strong, do you have any questions on his qualification, Mr. Stump?
I do not, and I have no objection.
Do any of the other parties have any questions or objections regarding Mr. Stump's qualifications?
No objection.
No questions, no objections.
No questions, no objections.
Mr. Griff?
No questions, no objections.
Thank you. So admitted.
Okay, thank you. All right, so Mr. Stump, since we were just talking about the daycare center and some parking issues, I want to start off with that. Behind you, I know it's a little bit awkward where we're seated, so if you want, if it's more comfortable for you to move out here and use the pointer, that's fine. So up on the screen, we have exhibit A24 and then specifically MP 3.0. Can you see that, Mr. Stump?
I do.
Yep. And then if we could zoom in on the daycare center parking lot, the parking lot in front of the daycare. All right, just taking a look at that. Well, you were present, first of all, for the testimony that was given earlier tonight, correct?
Correct, I was here.
And just taking a look at the parking lot and the, let's call it the angled spaces and how they're positioned. I guess the question really goes to the positioning of the parking spaces. Do you foresee any issues or conflicts based on the positioning of the parking spaces?
There have been a couple of versions of this parking lot layout. I think initially it was actually kind of a one-way circulation where you would come in this vicinity where the existing proposed driveway is, loop around and then exit in this vicinity. We had commented earlier in the review process that was too close to the exiting movement for the shopping center and you'd wind up with cars stacked up potentially in this vicinity, exiting the driveway onto relocated Sand Hill Road, and then also cars backing up into the daycare parking lot and just didn't, generally not good practice to have an access that close to another intersection. Okay. So this is kind of a revised version, and it's an improvement from what was initially proposed, although there is still some potential for parking maneuvers in this vicinity that may preclude somebody from entering the parking lot. So,
and for the record, when you say this area, I'll refer your attention to the north or northern side of that parking lot. Is that where you're pointing?
Correct. The area of the parking just in front of the entrance to that parking area, the apparent drop-off and pick-up area.
Would you foresee a problem if someone pulls into the parking area and then pulls head-on into one of those spaces that's labeled, it has a number 3 because there are 3 spaces there. You see where I'm
yep.
indicating? Would you foresee a problem with them backing out at that location? Could there be a problem?
There could potentially be a problem with somebody backing out here and maybe not seeing a car coming in or having a car coming in at the same. Maybe waiting and blocking other traffic that's in the kind of north-south alley that runs through the center.
Okay, and then what about the parking spaces that are just to the west of that location that have a number 7? Do you foresee any issues or problems with people if they pull head-on into there? Would there be any problems with people backing out of those particular spots?
backing out of those spots would generally be using the same area of the parking lot. So again, there could be a potential conflict or disruption of traffic that's looking to enter that parking area.
Okay. And then I'm going to refer your attention down to the south end of the parking area and then the corner of the parking area at the south end. You see how there are spaces at the corner of the parking lot. My question goes to if someone's backing out of the space that's on the southwest side.
That last spot right there.
So if they're backing out of that space, do you see a conflict with respect to any other vehicles?
They would have to back straight out for a long distance before they would be able to make a maneuver to turn back towards the driveway. They'd be backing out across several other parking spaces.
And when you say several other, it appears to be at least three and possibly four or five, correct?
Correct.
All right. Any other, just generally, any other conflicts with respect to parking in that particular design that you see?
It is a tight parking space and a tight layout, but generally it does provide adequate circulation outside of those couple of maybe less desirable parking spots that are placed.
Okay. So now I'm going to refer your attention just to the general traffic impact study that was prepared by Mr. Creasy, okay?
Yep.
Did you have an opportunity to review that traffic impact study?
I did, yes.
And did you also review the site plans related to the conditional use application?
We did.
And you testified earlier that you're familiar with Derry Township ordinances, correct?
Correct.
For this particular project, what ordinances specifically did you review?
The zoning ordinance and the SALDO.
And as is typical within a municipal engineer, you do review letters, is that correct?
Correct, yep.
And then they get updated as the project gets revised, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, and before we get into your review letters, I'm going to refer your attention to, it's Exhibit A27, if you could bring that on. Did you have an opportunity to review Exhibit A27 at any point?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And this is a Tri-County Regional Planning Commission letter dated September 22nd, 2022.
That's correct.
So I just want to refer your attention to the third paragraph of that letter. Do you agree with the comment in the third paragraph of the letter that the intersection at Fishburne and Hoppersville Road is one of the most congested in the three-county region?
I can't speak on behalf of the three-county region because I haven't personally played that area. Certainly Tri-County is responsible for that, and I do know that this is a rather congested intersection. It's been a point of concern for the township for several years. We did conduct a study there maybe roughly 2016,
okay.
where we did recommend right turn lanes be added along 322 at the intersection because at that time there were severe backups in both directions, generally in the morning coming westbound along 322 and in the afternoon going eastbound on 322, basically towards the Med Center or away from the Med Center. And goes right turn lanes were constructed in 2019, and that has eased a little bit the congestion that was there, but it's still certainly a busy intersection and kind of has a lot of traffic going through.
And so maybe you wouldn't give the same opinion that was given, but you have extensive experience, as you said, with respect to municipal traffic engineering in multiple municipalities, right?
Correct.
All right. So. Would you agree that this is a congested intersection based on your familiarity with other intersections in the general area?
Yes, I would.
And then let's get into your review letters. So did you prepare a review letter concerning traffic impact study dated August 2nd, 2021?
I did, yes. That was a review of the traffic study scoping application.
Okay. And I'm going to refer your attention to Exhibit T2 in the packet. Is that the review letter that was just referenced?
That's correct.
And then this is an early review letter, is that correct?
Yeah, this was the first review letter that we had provided after the applicant had provided a proposed scope for the traffic impact study.
With respect to this letter, is there a comment on there with respect to the lack of compliance with a saldo provision?
There is. The first comment on there identifies that a waiver should be requested as a proposed five-year horizon analysis does not match the 10-year horizon that's required in the ordinance. PennDOT used to have a requirement of studying 10 years beyond the opening of development. They have maybe 10 years or so. 12 years ago, they changed that requirement down to just 5 years. Many municipalities had the same 10-year requirement in their ordinances, presumably following PennDOT's guidance. A few of them have updated it to reflect now 5 years. Many have not. But when we're on, along a state road and PennDOT's involved with an HOP, we typically defer PennDOT regulations, which go 5 years out, and recommend that the board provide a waiver for that 10-year analysis.
Okay. And so that's your initial comment there in this letter, correct?
That's correct.
In your opinion, is there really any major benefit to requiring a 10-year over a 5-year?
The background growth here would increase traffic volumes by, in the study, 0.37% per year. So that's kind of how the traffic volumes in the study area grow due to development that's removed from the study area.
All right, so for years, you're saying if you went beyond 5 years, for years 6, and then 7, 8, 9, and 10, each year would have a growth factor of about 0.37%.
Correct. So the traffic volumes would be increased by roughly 2% over what was analyzed in the study to go from the 5-year horizon to the 10-year horizon.
And I think you had another comment about asking the applicant to add in other projects to be included in the base traffic. Is that accurate? Is that in your letter?
Correct. So when we project our traffic to future years, we do account for specific developments that are near the proposed site. We account for those directly, and then again, that other background growth rates for developments may occur outside of our study area.
And was there a specific project that you asked to be included?
The Milton Hershey Early Childhood Center.
So ultimately, did the applicant revise the application to include that?
They did, yes.
And then, just referring your attention down to paragraph 4, you asked for crash reports. Is that something that the applicant ultimately provided?
We have not received a crash report from the applicant. We have looked at data, crash data on our own, but nothing was provided. Often that's provided separately to PennDOT. PennDOT has that data as protected, and so they want that submitted and prepared separately. But it was not submitted to HRD.
And I'm going to refer your attention to the next exhibit in the packet. T3. Can you tell the board what that is?
That is our latest comment letter on the traffic study and the concept improvement plan that was dated October 17th, 2022.
Okay, so I'm going to refer your attention to paragraph 2 now of that letter of exhibit T3. Did you express concern related to the increased queue lengths on the eastbound and westbound State Route 322 due to signal timing that the applicant proposed for Cherry Road?
Yeah, so at the intersection of 322 and Cherry, the traffic analysis indicates that the queue lengths for the through movements along 322 will increase significantly with the development when compared to the without development condition. When I say significantly, I believe it was 100 or 200 feet. So maybe 4 to 8 car lengths.
So that's contained in the traffic impact study, correct?
Correct. That's what was stated in the traffic impact study. We suggested that they evaluate ways to shorten those through queues, even if it means a little bit longer queue on Cherry Drive, and then suggested maybe restriping along Cherry Drive to better accommodate those PQs.
And just so the board is oriented as to what the additional queue lengths are, I want to refer your attention to the traffic impact study and then specifically to Table 2.
Mr. McNair, since I do believe we have two separate studies, traffic impact study.
All right, Exhibit A29.
Right, thank you.
I think it's around here.
Page 36
of the PDF. Thank you. So does this first page of Table 2 give an indication as to the queue lengths for Governor Road and Cherry Drive, the eastbound, westbound of Governor Road and Cherry Drive?
Correct, yeah. That first table is what comment number 2 was referring to.
And for the board's edification, can you point out the specific rows that you're referring to that indicate the increased queue length that was a concern for you?
So if you look at the eastbound through, which is the second row coming down once you're in that intersection. Yep, that's the row there. And if you go across to the PM column, so in the middle of the table, it says PM 2027, and then underneath that header, it has no build, and then build with improvements. So what we're comparing generally is the no build to the build with improvement scenario.
Okay, so for the no build, it lists out 531 for the sync row analysis, right? And then the build, it lists out 615 feet under the synchro analysis, and build with improvements, it lists out 738 feet. Is that right?
That's correct.
Now, the available storage that's listed is 1,280 feet, correct?
Correct. I believe that's the distance back to the next traffic signal.
All right. But what you're noting in your letter relates to an increase of about 200 feet of queuing. Is that right with the build with improvements?
Correct. And just to be clear, what's shown in that table, there's two numbers in each one of these inputs. That's representing the synchro queue, and then the second number is the HCM queue. It's essentially two different methodologies that the software uses to report and predict queues. PennDOT likes to see both. So we look at both as we're doing our analysis through. But yes, looking at the synchro queues, it's projected to go from approximately a 531 foot queue to a 738 foot queue, so roughly 200 foot increase.
And if you looked at the HCM queue, it's about 90 feet increase, right?
Correct, from 283 to 373.
And maybe you can't answer this, but when you do an analysis, do you always provide both the synchro and the HCM?
We always provide both when we're submitting to PennDOT. PennDOT requires both. If we're submitting just to a municipality, we would look at what their ordinance requires in terms of how to report it.
Okay. Any other rows of significance here that led to your comment?
Yeah, the westbound through right as well, the opposite direction on 322, similar idea. Without development, the synchro queue is reported at 165. With development and improvements, it goes out to 405. Now, again, it's less than what they have reported as the available storage. I think our comment was geared at, are these really the best timings here? Is there something we can do to get lesser queues? just reduce the distance from the signal that we're backing up. It's less expected to be stopping when you're that far from the signal. There may be other driveways or cross streets that is backing up in front. So, you know, the shorter we can keep those queues, the better. So I think our comment was really geared at, you know, are there some better timings that could be implemented here, even if it results in maybe longer queues along Cherry? I think we can provide some striping and account for that. We were speculating that the timings they came up with were trying to fit the northbound queues along Cherry within the striping that was already there. It appears that to us, you know, maybe it could be restriped to provide more.
Okay. All right, and we're going to go to the plan in a minute, but before we get to that, I think you started to give some testimony regarding, you know, potential detrimental impacts to extended queue lengths. Are there, you know, potential detrimental impacts to real long queues?
Yeah, the longer they get, the less expected it may be for a driver approaching a signal to think they need to stop. So it may surprise them, and may lead to a rear end. And also may block, you know, go past driveways or cross streets, may hinder sight distance trying to pull into or out of those driveways, as well as just blocking movements altogether.
And then, so you've made a recommendation in your review letter regarding how the queue length might be able to be shortened. Is that correct?
Correct. We're just to evaluate if it's feasible to shorten it.
Okay. So can you bring up A16? Yes, and for the record, I'm going to refer the witness to Exhibit A16. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me change that. I'm going to refer him to Exhibit A24. Is there a better exhibit for you to show us the Cherry Road issue, the restriping of Cherry Road?
Perhaps Google Maps?
Well, yeah.
How about
A25? Yeah, it's the one we're looking for. Sorry. Well, what currently exists at Cherry Drive?
Right now, there's a left turn lane, a through lane, and then a right turn lane going northbound on Cherry Drive.
And your recommendation related to restriping to provide an additional northbound storage on Cherry Drive, right?
That's correct. So the I'm looking for that table again. According to the study, there is 160 feet of a dedicated left turn lane along Cherry Drive coming northbound, presumably going back to this vicinity, close to that first driveway, maybe the shopping center along Cherry. I think we were suggesting beyond that point, where it comes in a dedicated left turn lane into the second driveway, consider adding a center left turn lane maybe through that area so that that could be used as overflow from the signal when that's hitting its peak. It could also, under normal conditions, be used as a left turn lane into the shopping center instead of having kind of, you know, some of this dead space in between the two turn lanes.
And so with that proposal to have that increased turn lane or increased length of turn lane, there would be a retiming that would help with the queuing on Route 322. Is that
correct? That we would recommend for, you know, considering adjusting the timings so that you're giving more time to 322 that results in shorter queues there, and then accommodate the queues along Cherry that may result in that retiming.
All right. Just changing gears a little bit. I'm going to refer your attention to the alley.
We can use that.
Or you can go to exhibit A24.
Does that have the alley?
So let's, we can go to exhibit A24. All right, and so that's MP3.0. You can see the alley on this exhibit, Mr. Stump?
I can, yeah, if I can zoom in a little bit. Up to the intersection of relocated Sand Hill, Fishburn, with that alley. Yep.
So with respect to this, I think in your review letter you had talked a little bit about the potential to need split phasing for the alley. Is that accurate?
That's correct. So the split phasing essentially means that one side would get the green light. In this case, relocated Sand Hill would have a green. They could turn left through or right, and traffic from the other three legs would all have the red light. And then once relocated Sand Hill, that light turns yellow and then red, then the alley would get the green light. And again, they would have, you'd be the only approach into the intersection that has the green light. And then it would go back to the Fishburn approaches.
It, as the plan exists today, would you anticipate split phasing to be necessary?
The way it's shown now, I think because of the angle of the alley and the way it lines up, I think split phasing would be necessary if the alley could be realigned and come in more straighter across from relocated Sand Hill. Maybe split phasing wouldn't be required.
If
a conflicting turn against the way the intersection is coming in as a skew, and so our comment was essentially evaluating if it's required to be split phase during design or during permitting of the traffic signal. We want to make sure it can work well that way. The traffic study did not analyze it that way, so we asked them to at least provide analysis if it does wind up going that, becoming split phase, that it would work acceptably still.
So if split phasing was required, would you anticipate that the numbers that were provided for that particular intersection would be modified, meaning the numbers associated with queuing and the numbers associated with traffic movement?
Yeah, they would change. And again, our comment was asking to see that analysis so we could tell if that change is detrimental or creates concerns or safety issues, or if it's still within the threshold of what's acceptable.
So what is the current width of the alley?
I believe it's labeled on plan somewhere as 14 and a half feet.
And what would be the, in order to have two-way traffic for the alley, what would you need width-wise?
Typically, you'd want 20 feet for driveway, certainly at a signalized intersection where you have the potential for somebody sitting on the alley waiting to turn out, sitting at a red light, and then somebody on the main line wanting to turn in at the same time. You want to give enough width, at least up in the intersection area, for vehicles to be able to pass one another. And then typically 20 feet is considered adequate for two-way traffic on a low volume like that.
All right, I'd like to move on to a new topic with you, and specifically to the effects of the project on property owners that are located along Fishburn Road. Did you prepare an exhibit associated with the highway occupancy permit process and the potential impacts of the proposed changes along Fishburn Road to the property owners?
We did.
And so I'll refer your attention to exhibit T4. Do you have that in front of you?
I do. I'll mention that this was prepared earlier on, an earlier version of the sketch plan, so what's shown here may not be entirely match the latest master plan, but for all intents and purposes, the roadway geometry that's shown here is totally equivalent.
Okay, so let's just generally orient the board to what's depicted on here with respect to the property owners adjacent to Fishburne Road. Do you have different owners of tax parcels along Fishburne Road?
Correct. The non-colorized version of that exhibit was something that was provided by the applicant. We added the red property lines, the property owner information that we had obtained at the time from Dauphin County's website, and then annotated that in blue, which highlights what we expect will be required from each property owner from PennDOT.
All right. So let's start at the top of the screen with Ms. Backentoss.
Mary
Backenstokes.
Backenstokes,
I'm sorry. So that's at the northern side of this exhibit, or northern side of the project too, right?
Correct.
And so we're at the intersection here, Route 322 and Fishburne Road, correct?
Yep.
So what have you indicated might be necessary with the HOP process?
So what we show there for that property is that there will need to be an approval of a left turn lane.
What does that mean?
So right now, there's a left turn lane along Fishburne for the signal at Route 322. That left turn lane appears to end right in this vicinity. PennDOT standards say if you're adding an auxiliary lane in front of somebody's frontage, that you need to seek their approval to install that lane, because that may impact their ability to obtain a driveway permit separately down the line. So I believe that since this left turn lane is now planned to be extended along their frontage, that approval may be required, by PennDOT to get that property owner's approval to install that lane.
But it's the property owner that would be giving the approval, is that right?
Correct. And then we also noted that there may be a left turn restriction and maybe right of way. Don't know without fully engineering these plans and getting some PennDOT feedback whether they would look for a left turn restriction entering or exiting this existing driveway.
Can you explain why PennDOT might impose a left turn restriction?
Because of the turn lanes, particularly the left turn lane that extends in front of the driveway. PennDOT often will look to restrict left turns when vehicles entering or exiting have to cross multiple lanes near a signalized intersection and particularly turn lanes. Now, this is an existing condition. There's already a left turn lane there, already through, and then this right turn lane is very similar to what's there now, so PennDOT may not require a restriction there in this case. That's probably why I have there as a possible left turn restriction. And again, possible right-of-way, not sure exactly where the right-of-way is through here or how far the grading is going to expand out there. So possible they need it, possible they can design around it.
But, and just explain what you mean by that a little bit further in case someone is unclear on possible right-of-way. Is that possible right-of-way necessary to widen the road?
That's correct. And when I use the word right-of-way, that could be a temporary right-of-way or temporary easement just to do some grading. It may be something more permanent, whether it be a permanent easement or an actual right-of-way for the roadway.
Okay. And it seems as if you have the same comments for the next two properties. Is that correct?
That's correct. The only difference I'd say is that there's a shared driveway here for the next two properties. I believe it's on partially on both property lines, although, again, these property lines were sketched in off of, best we can tell from looking at the county's website, we didn't do a full survey. Maybe that's been refined since, but from what we can tell, it appeared that the driveway that's here was split between the property lines. And that's in a location where there is currently not a turn lane in front of the property. So I think a turn restriction, left turn restriction there may be a little bit more likely than the corner property, which they're not really changing the existing condition too drastically.
All right, then let's move down to the fourth property that is Catherine Nelson's property. If you have a note on here, left turn lane slash median approval or right of way.
So the left turn lane is extending in front of that property, and the median is starting right at the edge of their property. Again, knowing that the property lines aren't exact, but in that vicinity, there is no existing driveway on that property. So there's no, there wouldn't necessarily be a left turn restriction since there's no driveway there, but they would still need to get that property owner's approval, because in theory, adding that median or that left turn lane may impact their ability to get a driveway at some point in the future.
Is that a vacant property?
It is not. It's a residential property. I think it's a twin home. And I think that they probably access Mr. Blumberg's property.
Okay, the next property over
there.
All right, so let's talk about then the two next properties that are owned by Ronald Blumberg. You have indicated left turn restriction. Is that due to the median?
That's correct.
And it says right of way. That's just a possibility that if the roadway needs to be widened, there might be some area in the front edge of the property taken.
Yeah, I think as we're moving further south here, the edge of the road is getting closer and closer to the right of way, or even across the right of way. It's becoming more likely. So I think here I dropped the word likely. I think across there we are going to need right of way.
All right, and then that's probably true with respect to the next property, which is Michael Corrado.
Correct, and then that would be right away twofold, one along Fishburne, but then also I'm suspecting that there could be some widening of the alley to maintain two-way traffic to the signal, so probably on both sides.
Okay. Then jumping across the alleyway, it looks like we've got 6 properties that you've given the same suggestion about. Is that accurate?
That's correct, and that's generally due to the left turn lane that's proposed. So the widening is being done symmetrically. Half a lane width on the east side of the road, and then half a lane width on the west side of the road. So we think that that's going to push out into some right-of-way needs along those properties. And then due to the left turn lane and the signalized intersection, have used the word likely here, that they're likely to require left turn restrictions for those existing driveways in that vicinity, especially because they have access in the rear to the alleys. So when there's alternate access available, I think PennDOT's more likely to request left turn restrictions along the state road if they have alternate access.
Okay, and the likely left turn restriction that you're referencing is that a left turn coming out of the driveway as opposed to going in?
Either left turn in or out is what they'll often ask to be restricted.
Okay, any other comments for those 6 properties? You have HOP listed.
Correct. So any of the existing driveways along the limits of work will, if they're being physically modified, they'll be required to be permitted.
Okay. And that's the next property down, which is Robert Kramer. You have listed possible right-of-way. That's just due to potential road widening there.
That's correct, although I think this property line actually might bisect that driveway that's here, so they may also have an HOP required there as well.
Okay. All right, if we jump to the other side of Fishburne Road and start with Evelyn Cruz, and then there's 1, 2, 3 more properties. You've given an indication of similar comments for the first 4 on the southern side of Fishburne.
That's correct. And again, they require the driveway to be their existing driveways to be permitted, and anticipate that there will be, as this taper's flaring out, at some point they'll need to obtain some right-of-way. I should point out, I say, once the property owner's approval where you're putting an auxiliary lane in front of another property,
They define an auxiliary lane as the four-width left turn lane, as well as this bay taper area. So from the start of the bay taper and to the north, PennDOT would consider that the left turn lane. So anywhere with frontage along that is typically where they look to get that property under approval, even if they don't have a driveway. If they do have a driveway, they may look for left turn restrictions. So in this taper, this last 123 feet, what they have labeled as a shifting taper, I would not expect left turn lane restrictions would be requested in that area.
Any other comments with respect to the remaining properties on the south side of Fishburne?
Or the north town to the left here, so along the west side of Fishburne.
You're right.
Yeah. Now, again, once we get into this area, existing driveways, they may look for left turn restrictions. They don't obviously have access to the alley. There's really not alternate access there. So sometimes PennDOT does look at it on a case-by-case basis, and if the property owner wants to maintain left turns and kind of documents that, PennDOT sometimes will allow the lefts to remain. It depends on the use and the amount of traffic in front of the site and that is. So I think I used the word likely on the east side because that has access to an alley. I think that'll be less forgiving because on the west side there's no other access. I have just as just possible left turn. Again, I don't want to speak for PennDOT what they would or would not require. Based on our experience, both as municipal review engineers and doing that development work, there's at least going to be a discussion about it.
So let me refer your attention then to T5. And can you explain to the Board of Supervisors what T5 is?
So this is an excerpt from PennDOT's publication 282, which is the Highway Occupancy Permit Operations Manual. And this kind of outlines the procedure of obtaining property owner approval. Now, of course, when we're doing land development, or from a municipal standpoint, it's more geared around what's happening on the site, and that's generally what the ordinances can cover and regulate. PennDOT's purview extends to frontage along state roads, and this section here is generally there to protect property owners that may be affected or impacted by widening of state roads or any work along state roads in front of other people's frontage.
Okay. And is this manual or this portion of the manual what you utilize to come up with your comments?
That's correct. So I generally follow the guidance from this portion of the manual to identify which properties we thought might need left turn lane approval or... and of course, something that's self-evident if you're widening on somebody else's property, you're going to need right away as well. But again, this kind of outlines what approvals you need.
Does it discuss anything with respect to obtaining adjacent property owner approval for the types of things you testify to?
It does. It identifies that where an auxiliary lane must be located in front of another property, the applicant must secure the approval of that person. And then it also outlines kind of the process. If you're unable to get those approvals, what the next steps would be.
All right. And at this point, are you referring to what's in paragraph 8 of this manual? And paragraph 8 has a third paragraph related to what happens if an applicant is not able to achieve either an approval or maybe condemnation, right?
Correct. PennDOT may deny the application if the work requires entry onto land of another that has not or will not be acquired by condemnation. So essentially, if you need right away, from another property owner and are unable to secure it, they may deny the application on that basis. If the permit work requires a relocation or removal of another driveway and their access rights have not or will not be acquired by condemnation, again, impacts to a driveway that you just don't have the rights to do, even if it works inside the right-of-way. Interference with access is deemed determined constitutionally unreasonable, and their access rights are not or will not be acquired by condemnation. Again, if PennDOT determines that placing a median in front of somebody's property or some other treatment is unreasonably affecting their access, then the PennDOT will use that as a basis to deny an application. Or the efforts of the applicant to obtain approval and provide mitigation or compensate the affected property owner determined not to have been reasonable. And the HOP applicant is expected to make a fair offer to the property owners to compensate them for any loss of right-of-way or loss of access that may be created by the project. And the PennDOT will review that documentation to make sure to know that in their determination that discussion and negotiation have been done in good faith and that a reasonable offer can be made. And then finally, it would deny if the applicant refuses to execute the indemnification. So if work is being done in the right-of-way and the applicant's unable to get the property owner's approval and they meet all these other conditions in here, you know, that they've proven that it's not unreasonable restriction to that person's property, and they just can't come to terms with the property owner. They've made, you know, fair market values or even above, and just the property owner is unwilling. PennDOT will still issue, in those cases, will still issue an HOP, but they require the applicant to indemnify the Commonwealth against any legal action that's taken against them by the property owner that are affected.
So,
and then that's only for the left turn lane approvals or modifications to the driveway. That does not apply to cases where right of way is needed. If right of way is needed, and I can't issue the permit.
All right. Well, let's talk about that situation where right of way.
Is it a good time to break?
It could. Look, I probably have 15 to 20 more minutes.
Yeah. So we're not going to go that long.
Okay.
Is this a good time to break in your series of questions, or?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So we need to set dates, future dates. I have checked with the township and the board. I'm going to throw dates out to the represented parties. And let's see if these work. So in April, we have one date that's available, which is Wednesday, April 26th. Does that work for everyone?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
May I have a minute? Did you say the 25th?
26th.
6th.
26th.
So Wednesday.
No other option, though.
No, for April, no.
I have a conflict, but I'll just have to deal with it somehow. So.
Okay, thanks. We appreciate that. Mr. McNair?
Yes, it works for me.
Cool. Mr. Strong?
I'll have to make it work. I have another conditional use hearing that night and another township meeting that night, but I'll make it work.
You can clone yourself. Okay. That being said, so the next hearing will be Wednesday, April 26th. In May, we have three dates that work. Tuesday the 16th, Tuesday the 30th, and Wednesday the 31st. I would like to get at least one, perhaps two. Let's start with the 16th. Tuesday the 16th, does that work for Mr. Strong?
Yes.
But actually, Mr. McNair, obviously you need to check with Eric, make sure he's available.
That we have our calendar.
I'm going to follow this so far.
The 16th, yes, that works.
Okay. Mr. Chris.
It's for me.
Cool. Mr. Greenberg, Mr. Getz, Mr. Winters.
May 16th.
Tuesday, May 16th.
Good for me.
Same here.
Excellent. So that'll be our second hearing.
No,
I was just about to say,
okay,
to put on the record that I'm available any of those 3 days, and my last name is Winter.
Oh, am I saying Winters?
Yes, you did. That's not
I apologize.
That's okay.
You can call me Nelson.
Dick Winters, Dick Winters was much more famous than me.
Band of Brothers.
I'm good on 3 days in minutes.
Excellent.
What are the other two?
Let's pick one of the other two. Tuesday the 30th or Wednesday the 31st?
I can't make the 30th.
Both are okay with me.
Yeah, I'd actually aim for the 31st, since the 30th is day after Memorial Day, I think.
They are both clear for me.
Mr. Greenberg?
Yes, they're fine with me.
Mr. Christ?
Okay.
And Ms. Burns, that works for you, the 31st? Thank you. It's late. Yeah, we got the 16th is primary election day, so we can't do it. I'm sorry. I'm going off an old email. So we'll do the 31st. In May, and then in June, we have Wednesday the 21st or Wednesday the 28th. Mr. Strong?
My preference would be the 21st, but I can do either date.
Mr. McNair?
Can you give me those dates again?
Wednesday the 21st or Wednesday the 28th?
Wednesday the 21st. I think I'm on vacation the last week of June.
Okay. Is the 28th out?
I can't do it.
Well, then yes, it's out.
Thank you.
The 21st is in, no, sir? Mr. Greenberg?
Yes, fine.
No, I'm okay on the 21st.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Winter. Mr. Getz?
I am not, but I'll work around it.
Okay. Mr. Stump, you good for those dates?
I am good for those dates.
Okay. As for Ms. Means, Mr. Miller, Mr. Hitchcock, since you guys are going to be putting on cases on those days, do they work for you?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so to conclude, we're doing Wednesday, April 26th, we're doing Wednesday, May 31st, and we're doing Wednesday, June 21st. All agreed?
Yes.
Mr. Strong, I believe we're good with the 45 days, but just be safe if you grant a waiver to hold the hearing another 3 days if necessary.
Yeah, I'm not sure what timing we'd be up against. But
I don't think we are up against any of this. Delta 6 members.
We'll certainly work with you on those days.
Okay. Thank you. That being said, anything else for the board? We're good. Thank you very much. Drive safely on the way.